Our reading is taken from Luke chapter number 1, starting at verse number 44. And it reads, as I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, "For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand. They ain't gonna bite you. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Ben, come up here, Ben. Marilyn needs a neighbor. Marilyn needs a neighbor. Amen. Since you're the usher, you got a little more energy. You're moving around. Amen. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Brother Andrew Lewis is coming to grab your hand. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor. Joy is an acronym. Neighbor. Joy is an acronym. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, Joy is an acronym. And Brother Smith, you being an educator, I know that when you heard that word acronym, like, where in the world is he going this morning? Well, as we look at it, and we know an acronym pretty much are initials that give definition to a name, or initials that, you know, basically define a name. And what we're seeing here, and as we look at this word joy. The word joy, we know, causes us to be exuberant, causes us to be excited. Yeah. Why? Because we understand that the world didn't give us our joy, so the world can't take it away. And since we know the one who gave us joy is God, the one thing that we're excited about is our relationship with God. And the one thing I want us to see and understand as we look at this sermon, and as we listen and as we look at the word of God, as you can see, I shortchanged you, but I don't want you to think I just shortchanged you. This is what I did at 8 o'clock as well. I read one verse, but there's a lot tied up in that one verse. But before we deal with that verse, we got to go back in order to come forward. And when we go back and we look at the Gospel of Luke, and we look at Luke here in chapter number 1, one of the first things that is brought to our attention is that we're seeing Zechariah, who is a priest, who had been elected this particular time to take the offering into the sanctuary, into the holies of holies. And as he is going into the holies of holies, and he's in there giving the sacrifice of the incense, don't y'all know an angel met him in the holies of holies? And when the angel met him in the holies of holies, he was told there that, I want you to know, you're about to have a son. Your wife is going to be pregnant and have a son, and you're going to name him John. You're not going to allow a razor to come to his head. You're not going to let him have any strong drink because of the fact that he's going to be a Nazarite. And since he's going to be a Nazarite, I want you not to give him anything strong because I have set him aside for a work he has to do. And after hearing all that, and now check this out. He's in the holies of holies. An angel of God whose name is Gabriel speaks to him. And as he speaks to him, the one thing he now questions and says, how can that be? Isn't that interesting? After all that, he's going to say, how can that be? Yeah. Wait a minute. You're in the holies of holies, and God knows your heart. You and your wife have wanted to have a child for years, but now you're older, and now you think your wife is past and too old to have a child, and you're going to say, how can that be? Why are you coming into the holies of holies? Why are you in the presence of God? Yeah. Don't we come to church expecting God to do the impossible? Yeah. Don't we expect God to bless us beyond our own imagination? If we are the people of God are now in the holies of holies and don't expect God to do anything different, why do we come? We're here because we come expecting God to do the impossible. Don't y'all know that the God that we serve, Brother Leo, specializes in the impossible? So what God wants to know, can you believe me to do the impossible in your life? And what happens since Zechariah questioned it? What happened is that he was unable to speak. He said, until it come to pass, you ain't going to be able to say a word. And so the brother was speechless, unable to speak out of his mouth. And now that he's unable to speak out of his mouth, when he comes out of the holies of holies, we're saying that the priests and people look at him and say, something ain't right. Brother can't talk. He has had an encounter. Oh, Lord. He had an encounter with God. He has realized, the people have realized, they don't know what the encounter was, but what they do know is that God did something, because this brother left different, came out different than how he went in. So because of that, we're seeing that God specializes in the impossible. And then the other side of that, in order for his wife Elizabeth to get pregnant, he and Elizabeth had to do something. So even though he left unable to speak, by him being made unable to speak, moved him to do as God had instructed him. So since he now couldn't speak, he now had to do what God had instructed him to do without saying a mumbling word.
Hallelujah.
So we see, now this is where it even gets even deeper. Once Elizabeth is pregnant, she's excited and ashamed all at the same time. Why? Because of the fact that many have whispered and talked about her being the wife of a priest, but she's barren. God must don't, they must don't have the favor of God. How can he be a man of God and be used by God? And if he's all that, tell me why they can't have any kids. So there must be something wrong with him or something wrong with her, but somebody in that household has sinned. And since somebody sinned, we see that's why that house is barren. So when she got pregnant, she was excited, but in so many ways embarrassed. But she had something that she could have shared with everybody. But she decided to go into seclusion. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this ain't the time to hide. You see, when the Lord has done what you thought wasn't a possibility, what you thought was an impossibility, God has now made possible. That's not time for you to hide. That's time for you to shout it at the mountaintops. That's a time for you to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. That's a time for you to let somebody know that I serve a mighty good God. I've been waiting for a while. It took a while, but I want you to know that the Lord has made a way out of no way. When we put our trust in God, all we got to continue to do is walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm here to tell you, watch and see what our God will do, because what he did for Elizabeth was something she wanted to see happen. What he did in Elizabeth was what Zechariah wanted to see happen, but they thought that their time had come and gone. But what I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, as long as you got breath in your body, I want you to know that God can still make the impossible possible in your life. All you got to continue to do is keep your hand in God's unchanging hand, and I'm telling you, God will perform that which you thought was impossible. But let's go on. We're seeing that God did the impossible with two folk who had to believe in the impossibility in order for it to occur. That was Gabriel's first stop. 5 months roughly down the road, he visits a teenage young lady whose name is Mary, who has been betrothed to Joseph. They have not yet consummated the marriage. But before their consummation of the marriage, we're seeing that God sends Gabriel out one more time. And Gabriel comes before her and calls her most favored one. And when she sees him, she's blown away, because she doesn't see herself as the most favored one. But God has pulled her out and called her out. Out of all the folk he could have used, he chose Mary. Now, why did he choose Mary? Because he's God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He did what he did because he's God, which means he doesn't need nobody's approval. He doesn't need nobody to come and say, do you agree with me? God does what God wants to do because he is God, and he's God all by. You see, so what we're seeing here in this situation is that God has chosen to utilize Mary to be the one to carry the Christ child and to birth him here on this earth. But then Mary asks a real question, because based on how biology works, you have to have a man and a woman in order to for a woman to be impregnated, because at this time they didn't have all the stuff we got, no test tubes and all that kind of stuff. They didn't have all that. You need a man, you need a woman. And what has happened? She says, how can this be? Because I have not been with a man. And then that's when Gabriel lets her know that the power of God is going to overshadow you. The power of God's going to cover you. And that which you thought was impossible, God is making possible. You see, my brothers and my sisters, some of us are going through some stuff, and some of us are dealing with some stuff, but what we need is God to overshadow us and to touch us and to let us know that he will make a way. You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know, if you want to see the impossible happen in your life, you just go on and say, Lord, I trust you, and watch how God will overshadow you. Watch how God will make a way for you. Watch how God will bless you. But you won't know it until you tell the truth to God. And I thank God for Mary being honest, because Mary said, yeah, I hear what you're saying, I agree what you're saying, but I don't know how this is going to happen. And then what she said, that's a real question. She wasn't questioning the ability of God. She didn't know how it was going to happen. You see, God works best in our reality, y'all. Don't try to fake out God, because you ain't. Be real with God, because God is definitely going to be real with us. And as the question was raised, she got the answer. And that's when she was overshadowed. And now, what Gabriel wanted her to know, what you are seeing is what society says is impossible. But this is what I want you to know. God specializes in the impossible. Oh, and Mary, by the way, your relative, Elizabeth, I want you to know she barren, or had been, right? Girlfriend pregnant now. So I want you to know that everybody thought it was impossible for Elizabeth to have a child, her and Zechariah. But she's 6 months pregnant. And after Gabriel had left her, and once she was pregnant herself, you know what she did? The person who had something that was impossible happen to her went to go connect up with somebody else who had an impossible happen with them. Isn't that what happens here at church? Don't you know God has done some impossible stuff for all of us in God's house? Isn't that why we come and congregate in this place? Because we're a whole bunch of folk who saw God do something which was, oh, somebody gonna work with me. What we all thought was impossible, God did it for us. So we are now all here congregating together, praising God, because we know that we serve a God who specializes in what? The impossible. So what is that saying to us? That if God has done impossible things for us thus far, don't you know he ain't going to stop doing the impossible? If we continue to come and trust in him, continue to walk by faith, and know that he is a God who is able to do the impossible, I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to know he'll do just that. But check this out, because this is where the story starts to get good. Because now that we saw what happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is pregnant and pretty much put herself in seclusion, and now here we see Mary had an impossible happen in her life, and she now goes to seek out and see her relative, Elizabeth. And she makes it a point, because I got to connect with her, because I want to talk to her about what God done for her and let her know what God has done for me. But the interesting thing was, is that when Mary got to Elizabeth, Elizabeth already knew God had done a work in her. Isn't that amazing? Because of the fact that the impossible can see other impossibilities. So somebody gonna work with me. See, when God has done an impossible thing for you, he allows you to be able to see the impossible happen in the lives of others. Even sometimes, even if they don't see it, you got to help some other folks see what you've already seen. Because if God did the impossible with me, I know he can do the impossible with you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands that we serve a God who functions best in impossibilities? He specializes in impossibilities. All he wants is some folk to be a witness, to let somebody else know, I serve a God who functions best in, know what? Impossible. Yeah. So, when you read earlier from 39 and 41 and 42, meaning 41, it tells you what happened. But when you get to 42b, all the way down to 45, these words are coming out of the mouth of Elizabeth. And what we read in verse 44, I'll read it one more time. Check this out. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Did y'all hear what she said? These are words out of the mouth of Elizabeth. And for all my sisters in here that had carried a baby, y'all know what it feel like when that baby start moving too much. You know if you ate something and that baby start moving a whole lot, you say, well, guess what? I ain't going to eat that. Oh, somebody working with me. But because brothers, we can't interact with that. I guess the closest thing we'll come to knowing that you got gas in your stomach and you might feel it moving around. That's about as close as we can get to it. I'm just messing with you. But what I'm saying is this. What has just occurred was also an impossibility. The baby that's inside of Elizabeth heard Mary speak. But when he heard Mary speak, he recognized the presence of the Lord. That this unborn child, whose name will be John, and then be called John the Baptist, is while he is still unborn in his mother's womb, in the embryonic fluids in her womb, was able to sense the presence of the Savior of the world. And the one thing I want you to know, Jesus, only you is able to allow folk to know your presence without you even opening up your mouth. Jesus, only you, is able to do the impossible when others think it can't happen. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to know, JOY is an acronym. Did you catch it? You have to know that JOY is an acronym. You see, and because of the fact that it's only Jesus, only you, are the one who is able to make a something out of nothing. Jesus, only you were able to see the needs of the world and you gave your all in order for us to be saved. Jesus, only you who was willing to pay the ultimate price so that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, only you could take away the sin of the world. Jesus, only you is able to heal and deliver us. Jesus, only you was able to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000. Jesus, only you was able to take water and turn it into wine. Jesus, only you was able to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, allow the lame to walk. Jesus, only you was able to speak to the dead and they rose up and walk again. Jesus, only you was able to do the impossibles in our lives. You see, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you think about joy, you get excited because greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. And it's a joy that only God gave us. And then joy is an acronym because Jesus only. Do you see it? You see, my brothers and sisters, we have to recognize the God whom we serve. He truly specializes in the impossible. All we got to be willing to do during this Advent season, When we hear folks sing joy to the world, we get excited because we understand joy, but we get excited because we know about the acronym with joy, because Jesus, only you, was able to take us and pull us about that miry clay. Jesus, it's only you who was able to redefine us. Jesus, only you was able to let us know I am somebody when everybody told me I was a nobody. Jesus, only you was the one that supplies all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Jesus, only you is the one that woke me up this morning and keeps me in my right mind. Jesus, only you was the one that got me here safely, and Lord, you're going to get me back home safely. Jesus, only you are the one that I can lean on at all times. Jesus, only you is the one I can call 24/7 and I will always get an answer. Jesus, only you is the one who's going to love me in spite of my stupidity. Jesus, only you will continue to shower me with grace and mercy. All you want me to do is continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I tell you, Jesus, only you. You see, my brothers and sisters, you see, as we're in this Advent season, as we continue to move forward in this Advent season, the one thing that we want to do is let this dying world know that there's help. There's a healer, and he has a gift, and the gift that he has is called life. And don't you know, the one thing that excites me about our Savior is that Jesus, only you, was able to rebook my ticket. Sink in for a second. You see, because I want you to know, we all had an itinerary that had a ticket. All of us was heading to hell. But I thank God that Jesus came and gave us an opportunity to get our tickets rebooked. I want you to know, I don't have to have a ticket to go to hell no more. When I gave my life to Jesus, don't you know Jesus rebooked my ticket? You see, because anybody ever have a flight canceled on them? And when they canceled the flight, you had to call and get your ticket rebooked. But then there were other times when your flight got canceled, and when you called Sister Hoover, they already told you your ticket has been rebooked. And that's what the Lord did for us. Once we gave our lives to Christ, don't you know the Lord rebooked our ticket, that our destination is now heavenly and no longer going down. But I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, we are going up. That's right. So now that the Lord has done all of that for us during this Advent season, we got to let folk know that joy is a acronym, because Jesus, only you, was able to take me to places I thought I'd never go, do things I thought I'd never do. And there's nobody who did it but Jesus, because our gift came wrapped in swaddling cloths. We'll hear more about that later on in this month, but we're just so thankful that we have a joy that is unspeakable, a joy that surpasses all understanding, because Jesus, only you. Let us all rise to our feet. What is it that we have been struggling with? What is it in our lives that has appeared to be an impossibility? What is it that has told us, no, you can't, but you still keep coming, but you're struggling with the whatever it is? I'm here to tell you, it's all about us putting our trust in Jesus, because he specializes in impossibility. So I want you to leave here this day, my brothers and my sisters, to be encouraged and to know our God will make a way out of no way.